when the doctrine of truth can be at war with the Holy Ghost truth. But see, when you receive Holy Ghost truth, you got more light. And when you preach it, it's obviously right. And it was just like Nebuchadnezzar's wife. She told his son, when the handwriting was on the wall, go get Daniel. He solves doubts. See, more light always solves doubts. Nobody else could solve doubts like Daniel. She said, go get Daniel. And they went and found him because he was not at their orgy. All right. Now, listen. The things of God is true. The glory of God, Paul said, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. So when you grow to a certain glory, you can receive things in that realm, in the realm of that glory. If you continue to grow, you can receive more. More will be given. So it depends on what stage people are at in their glory, in the glory that they operate in faithfully. For these reasons, they could see it or not embrace it. And guess what? They're not wrong because they can't be judged from having more knowledge because they just can't get it. But God will use them in the glory that they are faithful in. But they can't go to the next glory until they change some things. And the Holy Spirit, that's why he guides us into all truth. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you bear fruit, I will purge you that you bear more fruit. Now, I'm out of time. If the Lord give us an overage, I'll continue. But, well, let's just do it. I just keep going. We'll do a part two again. Now, listen. The Lord loves you. He does everything by love. If you're able to receive it, he will give you more. And guess what will happen? You'll walk in a greater glory. But you got to remain foundational. If you stop being foundational, he'll stop. He'll stop giving you more anointing. And you won't be able to get to that next glory until you repent. Repentance is not just to stop sinning. And it's not just limited to not sinning and asking forgiveness and not sinning. Repenting is an about face from what you were doing. It includes stop what you're doing, but it's also learning from with a humble attitude, being a student to the Word of God. Now, some people can only be students to those that they deem more educated. Let's say a Bible college professor, a well-known, well-renowned man like Nicodemus or a man like Kenneth Hagin. A lot of people, if Kenneth Hagin said it, it's good with many people, many wonderful ministers, because the Lord has proven those things that he taught to be true. But if you keep on drawing near to the Lord, David said that your word has made me wiser than my teachers. So the Word of God is designed by the Holy Spirit to propel, hear me good, folks, this is important, to propel the sincere heart to go as far as he can go. This is why David said, you made me wiser than my teachers. Not only that, wiser than the ancients. Now, if you go back and read the life of David, there were some things he did, and if you compare him to other Bible figures, David did wiser things. So it can be researched and proven. His old man Joab said, don't count the people. He said, you're worth 10,000s of us. And Joab was an opportunist. He said, he was honest that time. You're worth 10,000s of us. He was a fighter too. And a man of God. But he was also an opportunist. When he had a chance, he took Absalom out. He said, I'm not serving under this joker. He gonna kill me if I do. So when he got a chance, even though David told him not to kill, he killed him. And then he killed what's the other guy? Oh, I forgot his name. The other David was gonna put him over Joab took him out. A man that was actually more righteous than he was. He was King Saul's number one. And when he came to join David, David probably shouldn't have told Joab. Joab, he ain't reigning over me. He killed Joab was an opportunist. He did a lot of good. David didn't kill him. You know, Solomon did. Solomon had him taken out because he was an opportunist. And but God loves his people, and he does things appropriately. But the point is, the word of God made David wiser than his teachers and wiser than the ancients. See, sometimes people say, well, a man like Apostle Paul or Peter or John, all right, they walk with Jesus. So being wiser than them, people don't really hope to be wiser than them. But I'm going to tell you something, and I mean this. If you keep drawing near to the Holy Spirit will always cause you to be covenant appropriate. And he can teach you more. In fact, Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me. So the next generation, we can read their writings. We know right from wrong. We saw the outcome of their lives. We're expected to be covenant appropriate and do things that far beyond our years. We're designed by Jesus himself. Because we took on his nature. He made us kings and priests. He's a king and a priest. So guess what? Even the women are kings and priests. And the sons and daughters that prophesy, they are also kings and priests. And the servants of mankind. And the slaves. See, that the word serve, that's slaves too. They get saved and they speak in tongues and prophesy. And have dreams and visions. Young men will have visions. Old men will dream dreams and vice versa. So when you keep delving into the things of God, when you're hungry for the Lord, you're hungry to know him, the Holy Spirit will oblige you. And he will take you far beyond your years, far beyond your teachers, far beyond the ancients. You know, David never cast out demons. He killed them. He killed Goliath, which was a demon. He turned that giant into a demon. Well, we cast him out of people. A demon is the disembodied spirit of the giants. All right, the Rephaim. The Rephaim are offsprings of Nephilim and women. Nephilim were some kind of class of angels, but they fell and they used to be angels. You know, Greek mythology is not mythology. It happened that way. You know, the Titans, the Olympians, all that stuff. It happened. It's recorded. See, there were giants in the earth during the flood, before the flood and after that. So don't be so surprised. But that's where demons come from. They're disembodied spirits of giants, offspring, hybrids. God didn't create them that way. That's something that, Satan, he had his crazy angels that followed after Satan marry women and have offspring. And that's not something that God designed. That's a hybrid, angels and men. So when they die, their spirits roam and give us trouble, give us evil thoughts. That's why the fiery darts, they come mainly from the demons. And fallen angels. So David didn't. Nobody cast out devils until Jesus came. We cast out devils. We're already doing things that the angels didn't do. And God told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Well, God told Noah to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Well, he didn't. I don't think he said to have dominion. He did. He just said be fruitful and multiply, because he didn't have authority yet. We've been given kingdom authority, covenant authority, and we just got to walk in it. So when you receive, people receive based on what glory they can walk in. Some things will be hidden. Now, a lot of, I understand things in a way, it's not conjecture, okay? The things that the Lord showed me, taught me, the visions, the dreams, some people would deem it conjecture, just like our covenant week. That's real, folks. That's not conjecture. I got that from the Holy Spirit. When I shared it with the band, they said things that while we were recording that I didn't want to publish it because it was personal to different members, because we had an open forum. But the not, I always wanted to do a, God never led me to do a broadcast about it, but they were interested in those things, so we talked about it. And so, the Lord, I said, Lord, one day, if it's all right with you, I would love to use these notes and make a broadcast for the heart to heart. And I said, well, it's up to you. If you give it to me, I'll do it. If not, I won't. So one day the Lord said, go ahead and use those notes and make a broadcast. I said, now I really wanted to do this. So when I really want to do something, I got to make sure it's not just Thurston. So, but I did real research. I did real research to get that. And the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And he, I like to make things simple. Everything of God, God does things as wise. So if people can receive more, he'll work with them more. He already understands how people are going to partake of it or receive it or see it. But once people are covenant minded and they're foundational, they won't do something to interrupt the covenant. They'll remain covenant focused. And if they can do that, then they can receive a greater glory. It's wise to take them there. It's wise to give them a double portion, so to speak. Just like, you know, Elisha received a double portion from Elijah because he stuck with it. What he did fits what this vision. The Lord gave me a word saying to finish a vision of the Lord. Now, Elisha wanted a double portion from Elijah. That was his vision. That was his goal. And Elijah said, you ask a hard thing, but if you see me when the Lord take me up, it'll happen. Okay. Now consider this. To finish a vision of the Lord, you must believe God, honoring him by your faith. You must love God more than the vision. You must trust the Lord completely throughout the process. You must hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. You must enjoy his presence. And you must receive revelation from him, and you must contend for the faith, see it through with patience, protecting your dedication. Now, everything that Elisha did, first of all, he asked, Elijah said, what do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion of the anointing on you. All right. He believed that he could have it. So he honored that part where it said, you must believe God, honoring him by your faith. Once he made that statement, and Elijah said, that's a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken up, it'll happen. Okay? I didn't go back to the scripture. I'm using my memory. So, bear with me. He said, Elijah did that first one. He believed God, honoring him by his faith. He stuck with him. Then, when Elijah said, I'll wait here, he stuck with him. He loved God more than the vision. He knew that he could serve God better with a double portion. He loved God more than the vision. He didn't want the double portion for personal reasons. He loved God more than that vision, that concept that he had to receive a greater double portion. Then the third one, trust God completely throughout the process. So when he got around the sons of the prophets and other prophets, they said, "Don't you know your master will be taken today?" He said, "I know. Be quiet." And he kept following him. And they, every way he went, "Don't you know the Lord's going to take your master today?" "I know." And he stuck with him. And when I read the discourse of it, the scriptures, Elijah was moving. He was walking. And Elijah was right there with him. Then the fourth one, to finish a vision of the Lord, you must hear him out, noticing his voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. When people tried to get him to wait and let his master go on, he didn't do that. He stuck with him. "I'm going to see him taken, and I'm going to have that double portion." Then the other one, he enjoyed the presence of the Lord, and that's how he did it. We do things by, when we enjoy God's presence, that does something that other things can't do. There's a greater encouragement no matter what you need. There is an encouragement in the presence of the Lord like nothing else. And all the word that you receive, you just hold on to it in the presence of the Lord. You're devoted. When other people are crashing and burning, you're not. You're in the presence of the Lord. You're in a bubble of covenant protection. And you still have covenant laughter while the devil's trying to do the worst to you. You can laugh about it and to stop it and continue going forward, even when you don't understand. See, your joy never goes anywhere if you don't want it to, and your peace never has to go anywhere. And that just amazes the world. That's a light that they can't ignore. So enjoying the presence of the Lord is key. But everything else got to be in place too. With it, all these things work together. And this is the order that God gave us. So that's enjoy the presence of the Lord. And then the sixth thing that Elijah did, all right, to finish a vision of the Lord, you must receive revelation from him. When Elijah spoke along the way, he received it, and it made him more dedicated than he was in the first place. He received revelation. Just read it yourself. He received it. He clamped down on the revelation and kept it. Then the last thing, contend for the faith. See it through with patience, protecting your dedication. No matter where Elijah went, Elisha was right there with him, contending for the faith. He was going to see it through. He was more and more determined. He received revelations from Elijah. He had expectation by the Holy Ghost. He was looking forward every moment. When the Lord take him, I'm going to be right there. I don't care if it take all night today. I'm going to receive my double portion. Contend for the faith. See it through with patience, protecting your dedication. Elisha did that. The other prophets, they could have got in on it. "Don't you know the Lord's going to take your master today?" But they didn't have enough drive. "I'm going to see it too." They didn't walk with him. That's the problem. When the Holy Spirit is moving the way the Holy Spirit moves, some people will let it move, will let the Holy Spirit move, and they'll just stay where they're at in the same glory. They're still holy. They still love God. They're still very effective, very effective. But they just don't proceed forward. Now, the last part of this, I wrote this. Many Christians allow their vision to die because they do not do these things. Everybody's not after the greater glory. And the greater glory is not something you can do for vainglory. The glory of God is not vainglory. You should do nothing for satanic glory. That's the way I put it, from now on. Vainglory is satanic glory. Recognition, preeminence, pride, debauchery. It's not the glory of God. It's opposite. So do nothing for satanic reasons. And now, I was sincere to the Lord. I was learning and growing and understanding things that people discount. And I was able to be appropriate, covenant appropriate, at a much younger age. It amazed me. I walked in a peace that surpassed my understanding and the understanding of others. I had revelation that that people, they couldn't deny it. They didn't know how to judge it. When they didn't want it, they still couldn't say anything against it. There was no words against what I said, because I spoke by the Holy Ghost. And you know what? Many people did this. They avoided talking about it. They would end the conversation, change the subject, or leave, or all three. And it puzzled me. I said, what's going on, Lord? Why people don't... People that inspire me to want more, that when I speak what you give me, they crawfish. You know, crawfish run backwards. I said, what's going on? I didn't understand. But I saw it for what I said. Well, for years I didn't understand. But when the Lord talked to me about the glory, and these are good. See, there wasn't no backslidden preachers that I was dealing with. They loved God. They had revelation too that I still recite things that they said. But why this attitude? What is this? Why? This kind of light is obvious. But the Lord helped me see. Some people don't proceed to the next glory, and they're not sanctioned for greater glories, because they're not, sometimes they're not foundational, sometimes they're not sincere enough, sometimes they're not dedicated. They're like the prophets that told Elisha, don't you know your master's going to be taken today? And they didn't walk with Elisha. Now, God wasn't going to come and spell it out. Elisha's after something. Go see what he's doing. Ask him about what he's doing. God would have had more people if people would, all they had to do is be sincere and have a stronger desire than what they had before. I want a double portion too. Well, see, a lazy mind is satisfied. A person that's preeminent, they ain't gonna want it. A proud person ain't gonna want it. Some people are reluctant for whatever reason. They're not gonna want it, so they don't need it. But God is looking for sincerity. And when there's sincerity, this kind of sincerity was on Isaiah. He said, he the only one that spoke up and said, I'm a sinful man. I come from people that speak. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. In the glory of God, that's what he said. He wanted something done about it. When the angel touched his lips with the hot coal, The angel took the tongues and touched his lips with the coal, and it purified him. Then when the Lord asked all the prophets, out of all of them, just like he said when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter spoke up, you're the Son of God. When Jesus was fishing for the most dedicated of the apostles, Peter spoke up, you're the living Son of God, the Messiah. And some told what other people said. But Peter spoke up, just like Isaiah. The Lord said, who will go for me? Isaiah raised his hand. I don't know if he raised his hand, but he spoke up. Here am I, send me. After the angel touched his mouth, he had that covenant desire. Some people don't. Some people got it, some people don't. So, people of covenant, people that just love God, the most sincerest people that I ever met in my life, they were receptive to the things of God. Now, some people I can sit down and talk with for 3 hours, and they pull on my anointing and cause me to say things far beyond my years. And I've even noticed some Christians that they don't do that. Some people say, well, I'm ready to go. They're more interested in something to eat. They don't care about the things of God like the most sincere. Now, they love God. They want to go to heaven and all. And they want others to go to heaven. But that ain't no sandwich, what you're talking about. In their mind. You know, And it paused me. I said, man. And people, sincerity begets sincerity. And some people will go to the next glory, and the next glory, and the next glory. And they want to. They finish what they began. See, the learning process of man is good for what it is. You can be educated and in the doctrines of, you know, things that people teach. Every church got their own doctrine, their own belief system, the things that they received as truth, and they teach it, and they want everything to work out. I get that. But when you take things to the Lord in prayer and let the Lord teach you, you get perfect teaching from the Holy Spirit. Now, guess what? We also know in part, but you're able to, the Lord will, He will teach, He will prepare you for the next glory that you're capable of fulfilling. And there were prophets beside Moses and Aaron, and they were priests as well. They were Levites, so Moses was a priest and so was Aaron. But they were also prophets, and there were other prophets. And some of them may have been Levites. But guess what? The Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Some people operate in a much greater glory than others. Some people can hear from God, but God talked to Moses face to face. He operated in a greater glory. This is something that the least of the kingdom of God can do. Jesus put it this way. He said, out of all the prophets, there was no prophet greater than John the Baptist, even greater than Elisha. Mm-hmm. That's true. Elisha had a double portion of Elijah, but John the Baptist, he was the greatest prophet of all of them of the Old Testament. And then Jesus said, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now I'm talking about, you know, Peter said that your sons and daughters, this is that. He quoted what Joel wrote, that your sons and daughters will prophesy. Then he said your servants will prophesy. So you got people, slaves, getting saved, being filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesying. And they're greater than John the Baptist. They're washed in the blood. John the Baptist got killed before he was washed in the blood, before Jesus died for him. But he was washed in the blood too. But all of his life, it was pre-cross. So everybody Jesus died and rose again for after the cross, they're greater than John the Baptist. Sometimes you have to get past old religious teaching or old doctrinal teaching and do what God is giving us to do. Take your place in Him. Everybody can't receive that, the sanction it takes to walk in the next glory. So, but there are people out there that will. Now God will take you far as you can go, and as far as you'll let Him take you. And remember something, don't put limits on God. Ask Him to explain things. Ask Him to help you be covenant appropriate at all times. Ask Him to help you. He will. Don't try to do these things in your own strength, with your own understanding. And don't qualify yourself. Let the Lord do it for you. He'll tell you what to do. And walk in the glory that God gives you to walk in. And that's the best way to do these things. You have to handle holy things by the Holy Ghost, by maturity. Very important. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.